What do you call two guys that were there when this happened?
Back to return at Spurlock. Michael Spurlock at the 10. He's to the 20. He's to the 25. Spurlock 30 to the 40-yard line. We could see history. 50, 40 to the 30-yard line. Yeah. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. There you go.
And that.
Shotgun set. Three receivers left. Here's the snap, and the blitzer is picked up. Brady underneath. Caught ball, Evans. He has the record at the 11-yard line. Mike Evans becomes the first NFL player in league history to record 1,000 yards or more in his first seven seasons and what a throw by Brady. Congratulations, Mike Evans.
Who can forget?
Gannon looking again. Throws up the middle. That's intercepted at the 30. Derrick Brooks, 30. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Derrick Brooks, the most valuable player in the National Football League. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Here's the snap. Mahomes running to his right. Look out. He may run. Mahomes directly. Oh, toward the end down. Battle. Intercepted. Picked off at the end zone. Bucks are going to beat the Chiefs. We're the champions of the world, and we still have a minute 33 to go. Devin White. What a great second season. That's it for KC. Bucks are the Super Bowl champs. They can't stop the clock.
We call them the Salty Dogs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Salty Dogs Pot. Wait a minute. Wait, this isn't Squeaky just the chair. Salty Dogs. Oh, you're here in my chair?
Yeah.
Jeff hates the background noises, by the way. This is not just the Salty Dogs podcast. This is the extravaganza mashup between the Tampa 2 podcast and the Salty Dogs. Let's do introductions, ladies first, of the Tampa 2.
I am Casey Phillips.
And I am Brianna Dix.
And then we have the Salty Dogs. My name is Scott Smith.
And I am Jeff Ryan.
And we're the Salty Dogs.
We are.
And this is the third time we've done this, and it was very well received. I'm the one who reads the emails for Salty Dogs, and I can tell you that the two we've done before were very popular. So I didn't know how to feel about that because it seemed like they liked those more than just you.
Sounds like you have some smart listeners out there, you know?
You have some competition going.
We will throw them in a tizzy because we do not have a format.
Yeah, well, we're doing this next time.
Ad-libbed, yep.
Next time we're going to do this Tampa 2 style. If you listen to both podcasts, you know that we kind of meander and they come in with a very structured, which is probably better, but I mean, we're stuck in our ways at this point.
Yep.
So I'm just going to launch us into the topic.
I think the first... Any pounding you hear is the new studio being built. I don't know if you can hear it. I can hear the pounding.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know.
Thanks, Jeff.
Oh, appreciate that.
So, because when people listen to stuff, they go, what is that background noise? Oh, that's Scott's fan.
That noise is why we need a studio to record these new podcasts. So it's a nice little advertisement for itself happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're finally getting a studio here at the Advent Training Center.
A new studio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is this, the original one?
Yeah.
Right here in my office?
There you go.
At least it has a nice view.
Yeah.
All right. So I think probably we are pretty well removed from the end of the season, so we probably don't need to rehash 2023. Agreed? I think the big news right now probably is the hiring of Liam Cohen as the new offensive coordinator when the Bucs, I don't know if you'd say unexpectedly lost, but lost Dave Canales after just 1 year, which was bittersweet for all of us. Because not only do we think I think he did a great job, but he was also a very fine human to be around. Mm-hmm. But I bet you we find out the same thing about Liam Cohen. So have any thoughts on this, Casey?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a very cool hire that he's a guy who, you know, he was very outward about this at his press conference that he really hopes Baker Mayfield is back. And I like the idea that he's excited about that and just how interesting it is to look at where the Bucs are as compared to a year ago, where when they were trying to hire an offensive coordinator, that was a lot of people's questions is you didn't necessarily know who the Bucs quarterback was going to be. And while you're sort of in the same boat right now because he has not officially re-signed yet, it is cool to see that now it's viewed as this desirable thing of if they're able to bring him back, you have an offensive coordinator who's like, man, yes, I want to work with Baker. I'm excited about that. There's familiarity there already, which we talked about the challenges last year of having to do this whole brand new thing. And so at least there being, if it is Baker back with him, there's a little bit of that familiarity. And it sounds like even there's some familiarity with him and what Canales was doing. So there won't be quite as big of a learning curve as there was last year. So
there's
I think
even
that
some
stands
terminology
out.
Mm-hmm. Crossover, apparently.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of along those same lines, I like that they're from kind of the Shane Waldron tree. So maybe a lot of the similarities in principles marrying the run and pass, but also some of the things he did in the run game with the different principles, mid zone, things like that, that I think will carry over. But I also loved what he was talking about with seeing Tristan Wirfs as a weapon. hearing a coach say that about an offensive lineman, I just loved that. Being able to use him kind of maybe out in space more using his athleticism, but also the way he wants to use Mike Evans, he said, with kind of putting him inside a little bit more. He's the bigger bodied guy, but his ability to get in and out of cuts, like using him in a different way to kind of create those advantageous matchups, but also Chris Godwin, seeing him in the slot maybe a little bit more in 2024. So I'm excited to see how this shapes up.
I liked his attitude.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Canales came in very up-tempo, very upbeat. And at first you kind of go, wow, is that real? And then after time goes on, you find out it is real. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Dave Canales, that's who he is. He's very mm-hmm. upbeat. Now, with the change going on, my biggest concern was, oh, no, here we go. Another offensive coordinator, another system, another. And I think all the pieces fell back together again. And I think people underestimate Todd Bowles and his choosing of talent, because when he picked Dave Canales, everyone went, oh. And now I think he may be able to hit another one out of the park.
I think I went, mm-hmm. oh.
I do.
I'm not sure I went, oh. oh. I think I went, oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, thinking back, it was a year ago, so it's a little hard to remember. But.
Yeah. Well, when it first started, everyone was kind of like, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. You know, where is he coming from? Why is he here? You know, what, no one else wanted the job? I mean, you know, Todd Monken was, everyone wanted him, you know, clamoring. He's got to be your guy.
Well, that went well for Baltimore, too.
Well, it did, except for the last game. Just saying.
Shots fired.
Like they every coordinator that was good this year didn't have it. He's on this thing. He's on this thing. He's been on this for a while. He had one bad game.
Yeah, but it was the wrong time to have the bad game.
But he also, it was also against Steve Spagnuolo, who is, like, legendary for dialing up. It perfect game plans, defensive game plans.
Except
in the playoffs.
That all year long they ran, and I'm talking about the Ravens. And in this game, I think they ran nine times.
Six, actually.
Oh, well, it was
the fewest runs designed to run by running backs in a game in Baltimore history.
So you kind of got away from what you're known for.
Maybe we shouldn't fight in front of the kids, Jeff.
No, we go ahead. But I'm excited.
I thought on a tangent, which is what we do. When they were going through these candidates, I was talking to somebody back, maybe it was in the lunchroom. I was like, I truly hope they're asking Baker about these guys.
Oh yeah,
because as somebody said, Baker has to resign. We have to get him back, and I would want to be comfortable that he wants that guy to get the job before I hired that guy. What I mean, so Baker was claimed off waivers by the Rams after all the crap that happened in Carolina. And that made him work with Liam Cohen with the Rams for that last 5 weeks, I think it was, which wasn't much time. What if Baker afterwards was like, man, that Liam Cohen guy. But that's not the truth, as it turns out. But you need to find out for sure.
Right.
And Baker said at the Pro Bowl, yeah, they asked me.
Which,
so
again,
I like that.
Speaks to the fact that he – if, to your point, he probably said nice things about him.
So. Yeah.
It seems like that would be the case. And what a difficult situation that Baker went into there and was able to have way more success than anyone would have thought, which I think speaks highly to Baker and also probably Liam Cohen of, you know, the interactions they were able to have there of him hopefully setting Baker up for that success, for that incredible game-winning performance after he'd been there for like 48 hours. So I feel like that is a testament to both of them. And man, if they were able to do that in 48 hours, imagine what they'll do with the whole offseason if he's able to come back. So I feel pretty good about that. And Bree brought up the Godwin part. I think that's going to be really interesting to see how quickly he already was like, nope, want to throw him back in the slot. Like day one, that was one of the things that he brought up. And I think that that's going to be really cool to see Chris go back to that position that seemed to suit him really well.
Somebody asked him, like, what is the number one trait that a receiver has to have? And he ended up with more than one, but, he said, you don't realize how much these guys run and how much pounding they take, and can they take the pounding? And then he said, it's about catch radius. And he was holding up his hands. He's like, yeah, you want the quarterback to throw the ball here, right in front of his chest. But sometimes that's not open, and it has to be down here or over here. And can they make those catches? And as I listened to him, that wasn't a question about Chris Godwin. But as I listened to him describe that, I'm like, well, that's Chris Godwin. And that's Chris Godwin. I think he's going to love this guy. And he, at the end, he's like, of the Chris Godwin question, he's like, he compared it to the Cooper Kupp role. And that ought to make Chris and Bucks fans very excited. In Cooper's biggest year, he was targeted 191 times.
Jeez.
191 times. So if I were Chris, I mean, that probably means a little more pounding for him. We remember the previous 3 years when right. he was playing a role like that and some hits that he took, and you're like, oof. But he also was very productive.
You know, yeah. Chris is up for that. I mean, he is the definition of the guy who's willing to do the dirty work as a wide receiver, even when he also is making mm-hmm. a lot of the big plays and catches. And it's funny because I had him on the show with Ali Marpet this year, and we talked about the fact that Chris actually, most of the guys we talked to, talked about they started out as a kid playing running back, quarterback, wide receiver, and then it like they would end up eventually moving like, okay, I guess now I'll be an offensive lineman, now I'll be a defensive lineman. He was the opposite. He started as an offensive lineman.
Chris Godwin?
As a kid because he just grew faster, and it's all weight-based yeah, as a kid. Yeah. And he was like, I was never big, but I was tall early on, and so he had to start as an offensive lineman. And watching Allie and his reaction, that it was like, Allie was like, this makes total sense now. Everything about how Godwin plays makes
the
sense.
The contested catches, the physicality.
Yeah, yeah. All of his blocking, all of everything that he's able to do, that he has the mentality
of an
offensive lineman while playing wide receiver. And I think that also does suit itself well in the slot, where you know you are potentially going to be having a, there's some contact in there, there's mm-hmm. some over the middle, there's all that stuff. It lends itself to Chris Godwin and his grittiness and his willingness to take the pounding that it requires.
Wow. Did you know Devin Tompkins used to be a defensive tackle?
The no, world's...
I just, what, I just made midget that
football? Oh, my gosh. I know. I was like,
I just made that up.
And who was the defense coordinator that made that decision?
Trey Palmer was a sumo wrestler.
Now I'm questioning everything you're saying. And I'm like, wait
well,
a
I was lying
minute.
About the last one.
Yes, I know. That's why I was like, wait a minute.
Hyperbole.
It's a sumo wrestler. Oh, that's great.
Anything
yeah.
more?
Two truths and a lie.
Anything more on Liam Cohen and the hiring thereof?
I just think that the whole NFC South is going to be fun now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically the NFC.
Yeah,
it's the NFC West moving to the NFC South, and everybody knows everybody, with Raheem Morris now mm-hmm. being with the Atlanta Falcons, mm-hmm. with Dave Canales with Carolina, and then our guy, you know. So
as if there aren't enough storylines within your division
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we?
And so now it's going to be incumbent on the defenses. That's where you're going to know, because we all know those offenses can work, right? Because they're all coming off the Rams, and we saw whatever, you know.
Well, we know that Dave's offense can work. What we don't know yet is, can Bryce Young work?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Right. But if he just improves him just a little bit, I mean, I think this is going to be a really fun division. I mean, I think what's going to happen is we're going to beat each other up, and then you got to go win your other games.
I think that Dave Canales and Raheem and Todd Bowles should get together and agree that we're just going to beat up on New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah, I like that idea.
Go easy on each other yeah. and then just all of us beat them.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
I love
which
that.
Which is really strange, because we do have relationships with Raheem and with Dave. And
in other words, you're yeah. saying you could make this happen.
Yeah.
You can make this happen.
This is very easily done, yes. I like how you
get them
thinking.
Together at a
yes.
secret.
Because it's really hard. It's
secret
very,
summit somewhere.
It's, yeah. very, it's very hard to hate the Saints, you know.
What's equidistant geographically between Charlotte, Atlanta, and probably Atlanta.
Well, yeah, and Charlotte yeah. and Atlanta is only like 3 hours. So.
No. Seriously?
Charlotte to Atlanta is only like 3 hours.
And okay, he's about so to go. Interesting.
You run,
people keep talking.
You run 20.
Some people keep talking.
This
talk
is what you do.
Yourselves.
You take 26 and just run it straight on up. Okay?
This is our version of the Californians.
So, go ahead.
In Saturday Live.
You can get it done.
No, somebody talk about, let's see.
Well, I did have one more thing on Liam Cohen real
okay,
quick.
Okay, there you go.
So I was doing just some research about him and came across an article, I think, in the Providence Journal. He's from Newport, Rhode Island originally, which, love that area. Two things that I enjoyed about their article. They mentioned that, so, you know, football is like very much runs in his family, right? That you hear about this with some coaches, of where it's like, oh, my yeah. dad was a coach, my grandfather mm-hmm. was a coach, everybody's back to the caveman era has been a, you know, coach in our family. So he said that, or in this article, it talked about how his dad would bring him to some of these meetings as a kid, and they let him just go play on the whiteboard, and they looked over and he'd drawn up this perfect like wishbone offense with all the defenders in the right place. Like everything was in the right place and he was charting these plays. He was four.
That's crazy.
4 years old, drawing out all of this. And his dad made a joke of like, I don't see him using the wishbone, but he already had a grand concept of, and this is what he wanted to do, just left to his own devices at mm-hmm. four. And I think about how Jason Light always talks about how what they look for in players here is that they just love football above all else. That's like the thing that they want first and foremost is, we are football people. And I'm sure that also extends to the coaches. And it just, I love that it sounded like this is a football guy. Mm-hmm. From childhood on, this is that what he wants to do in his spare time is draw up plays. And I thought that was really cool.
So it all started with Grog Cohen of the Rock Throwing League.
Yes, exactly.
The Flintstones.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, and I love that he even echoed that in his press conference. Mm-hmm. And he apologized to his wife and said he doesn't vacuum. He doesn't. Can't change a tire.
So
she
seen.
Does that. And then he was like, I just do football. I just coach football. I just watch it. I watch tape. She's the one that does all
I
that.
I felt so seen when I heard that. 2 days ago, the light bulb in our closet in our master bedroom blew out. I'm like, I can do that.
That's I can.
I haven't yet, though. I should point out that I haven't, but
many,
I can. Yeah, no.
How many friends does it take for you to change the light bulb?
Apparently, it takes two Cohens to change a light bulb.
Why?
Because he said he couldn't.
Yeah,
but
she could. That's a good one, Scott.
I'm not the handy guy. Mm. He's like, but I like that he said his wife would change the tire.
Yeah, he's like, she's got it.
Finding the spouse the things that you can't do. Yeah. Who completes you? That's what Jerry Maguire was talking about. I don't know how to change the tire. She does. She completes me.
Jeff, it's a 4-hour and 21-minute drive from Atlanta to Charlotte.
You undershot it.
Wow. They drive slow.
Or you can.
There's traffic.
There's several different routes.
Yeah.
Did you say I-20? Because those are slower.
I said 26.
It's I-85 is the way there.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. 26 is to Asheville. That's where I usually go. I-85 to 26. Yes. Okay. My bad. Straight 85
Four
to
hours
Charlotte.
And 21 minutes.
I can say this is not something we've talked about on Tampa. Well,
no, it is not.
This is why we do these crossovers and learn something new.
The question is, what side of Atlanta?
It'd have to be south of Atlanta to make it fair for us. So you got about 2 hours south of Atlanta is what you need to do.
So what's it to Tampa, from Tampa to Atlanta?
It's like, done that.
7 hours?
Well, I've made it in 6.5.
See, there you go.
First of all, that is not surprising. Anyone who doesn't know.
He has a lead foot.
Lead foot. First time I rode with him, I was fearing for my life. I was like, this is it. This is how I go.
To the owner's meeting?
Yes. We drove all the way down to the owner's meetings. Where were they?
Boca Raton?
Yes, in Boca Raton. And we got there in
record time.
I just sat in the back seat and looked at my phone.
When you get to the highway, what is it on the other side? What's the highway on the other side?
95.
So you get to 95 going south towards Miami and South Florida. That thing is like eight lanes wide. You can go whatever speed you want as long as you're willing to weave through traffic.
Yes. And he was willing. He was willing. It was great.
I think Macon, Georgia would work. It'd be good for Atlanta. They wouldn't have to go over. Maybe Albany.
I love that we think the biggest problem here is finding the spot. That everything else we assume is happening. Then we're like, we can totally get all these coaches together to agree to this thing. We're like, we just got to find a place. That's the only hang up here.
Well, we could all go to Charleston. It'd be the longest for us, but that'd be an awfully nice place to visit.
It is awfully nice.
Of course, we're probably not invited.
Yeah. No. we're going to set it up and we're not allowed in the room.
All right.
So we found out they announced live during the commissioner's speech that the Brazil game was going to be Philadelphia.
Damn.
The host.
I immediately went to look and see if we played in them in terms of home or away, because I saw they were the home team, and I went and looked. I knew we played them, and then it said that it was home here, and I was like,
I was so disappointed.
I got to go to Brazil with an NBA game.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing. It was a really cool experience, and it was when I worked for the Wizards, and we had Nene, who was the first Brazilian player drafted into the NBA. He is like LeBron there. I can't even express to you what that's like, so that's why we got picked to go play there, and it truly was. When I heard they're going to be playing an NFL game there, I knew it would be an amazing experience because we had a blast.
I looked at it. I think the most likely matchup for them is Green Bay.
Kansas City.
You sure they're on their schedule?
It's week one, right?
Yeah.
They love doing those kind of rematch type games of Super Bowl rematches or whatever.
Well, they're going to do it on Friday. So the opening kickoff is on Thursday is the first game, and then Friday will be the game in Brazil. But I believe they play, I think Kansas City does play Philadelphia.
That would be fun.
Those games, it's such a toll.
Am I right or wrong?
What do you think, Jeff? Do you think you're right or wrong?
I think I'm right.
Shocking.
I can tell you that they don't play Kansas City on the road.
So?
Because they don't play Kansas City at all. But otherwise, your theory was
good. Damn.
Your theory was good. Otherwise, your theory was good.
Confidence is high.
I'm looking right at it.
Man, okay. You're 0-2 today. The geography.
Who's counting?
Okay.
So, I am. Geography.
So the choices are Jacksonville, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Carolina, Atlanta.
Well, it won't be Carolina because they're playing in
the Giants, the Cowboys.
Oh, Cowboys. Eagles, Cowboys in Brazil?
But
are you kidding?
But they generally
don't like doing division games. That's right.
So if you take out Dallas and the Giants in Washington, Green Bay seems like the most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Pittsburgh. Philly, Pittsburgh.
Especially when the Jaguars tend to, if they're going to play a, like, other country game, it's London. Like, that's where the Jaguars always go. So I don't see them taking them to Brazil.
I have always wanted to do a London game.
It's a blast.
I just want the fish and chips. I've never done that.
Well, I feel like you can find that here. It won't be as good potentially, but I do feel like if that's all you're wanting, we can make this happen for you.
Here's the strategy to finding fish and chips in London.
Okay.
Walk into any restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe not curry. Do they have fish and chips at the curry places?
It would be a pub.
A pub. Walk into any pub.
Yes.
And do one of the double-decker buses, you know, just do see all the sights. I've always wanted to go.
It's a lot of fun.
All right. Anybody else? Anything on Liam Cohen?
I think we're good.
I think we're, yeah.
I'm just happy for him because it was pretty clear that it's been his lifelong dream to be a play caller in the NFL.
Right.
And he talked about how, you know, you look at the resume and you go, he was at LA and then he went to Kentucky and then he went back to LA and then went back to Kentucky. But he went back, he went to Kentucky to be a play caller and to own an offense. But then he went back to LA because he was answering
the
call from Sean McVay and wanted to help. But he got there and he realized, but it's not mine anymore. And so then he went back to Kentucky. But this is the pinnacle.
This is what
being a head coach is probably the pinnacle. But calling plays in the NFL is like what he feels like he was born for.
Except that he said he wanted to be a head coach. So
I just said that.
I understand. But, you know, so once again, we're going to make someone really good. And off they go.
That's what happens.
That's a good problem to have, though.
Yep. All right. We covered the Brazil game, this.
Look at you with some topics like your Tampa, too.
You did it,
Well, I always do this. I have a list. We just bounce around. Like, I don't tell Jeff ahead of time because he doesn't want to.
Just like in Pirates of the Caribbean where they said that it's more of it's guidelines, not rules.
Yeah.
So, we have 18 pending unrestricted free agents, which actually is down for the last couple of years because it's like 23 each of the last couple of years. Priorities, people? Baker, obviously.
Baker.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
Obviously.
Yep.
Antoine Winfield Jr.
Let's do it another way.
Yeah.
Let's do it another way. Okay. Let's draft our priorities.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
I like this, Scott. I like this.
How many fingers am I holding up behind my back?
I can't see.
That's the point.
Well, there you go.
Is this the first person that's never done how many fingers behind my back? One through three.
Two.
That was my favorite part of the podcast already.
One.
That was great.
You're picking first. How many now? One or two?
Two.
Okay, you're second. I'll go fourth.
Okay.
So, priority. Actually, that's harder.
To go first?
Yeah, because you have to say Baker over Mike, over Antoine.
Oh, boy. So, Antoine, man. I feel like in terms of almost what is most important to the team in the long term, it might be Antoine. But I feel like the short term priority is Baker.
It's always
And it's especially that I see us doing the franchise tag on Antoine. I don't know that I see us doing that for Baker. So again, it's like, and maybe you do. I don't think so. And so I think because of that, because you would potentially have that option with Antoine, it makes me say Baker.
Yes, of that. I agree. But I'm going to tell Antoine.
No one. They're all my top priorities. They're all my favorites.
Yeah, just to be clear, there's probably going to be at least six guys that we are going to say we really want them back, and there's a good chance they will be back. But, Jeff?
I like Antoine.
Okay.
Yeah. I think once you have your quarterback, then I think, okay, you got to make sure you got your key defensive guy.
I can't see us letting him out of the building.
I would hope not. No, yeah. But it's like Casey.
I feel like Todd Bowles would be grabbing his ankles and having him drag him out, like trying
grabbing Antoine.
Yeah, as if he tried to leave, he'd just be dragging behind like a toddler that doesn't want their parent to leave. It'd be no.
And the good news is, if there's three guys that you really got to have back, like you just said, you had the franchise tag. So if you can do a deal with Baker and Antoine, then that still leaves you the franchise tag for someone else. So I think that's a smart play. That's who I like.
We'll go two rounds here.
Yep.
And go ahead. Next. All right, I'm going to go with Mike Evans.
This is pretty shocking.
I love that
all this is shocking how we're picking these people.
Baker Mayfield with all the radio, all the interview stuff that he's doing in Vegas, he said that he wants Mike to be a Buccaneer for life.
Extra.
And I would like to continue that.
Let's just go one round, and then we'll just pick off the extras. Yep. So fourth, I'd probably go Levante.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't want to see him in another uniform, but I would like to see him continue playing after he played like a 27-year-old this season.
I'm with you.
Ageless wonder.
And he's just so important to the middle of the defense, just, you know, just his know-how. He's mm-hmm. probably not as fast as he was 5 years ago.
But he's smarter.
But his recognition, though.
And he even said that when we had him on Salty Dogs during the season. He's like, I've learned so much now that he reacts more quickly, and that makes up for it.
Yep.
A couple guys we didn't mention, of course, the kicker, Chase McLaughlin.
Yeah, that would have been probably one of my next ones I would have said.
I mean, you have had such trouble from year after year with trying to find a kicker who was reliable. Now, mm-hmm. Ryan Succop was reliable, but didn't have the distance. Now you've got both.
Now, does that change because a new special teams coach is coming in?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I also, on the list, the Chase Edmonds one is interesting to me. I just think in general, I mean, we know Rashad's the guy, but that was kind of the issue. I mean, especially Chase was hurt for part of the year, but, I mean, Rashad was the guy, and that was about it. I mean, and I do feel like we saw at the end of the season, Chase was able to come in and provide a spark when you needed it to give Rashad that break and not feel like you're losing, you know, your whole running game. But I do feel like it's going to be interesting to see just what that running back room could look like overall. Do you draft someone? Do you sign someone? And then therefore does, you know, that change that the plan for that, does that change how much you want Chase Edmonds back or not? But I do think he was a nice second option in that room.
Second half of the year, I thought, mm-hmm. when you put him in there, you didn't lose much.
Right. Concur.
So, okay. I would like to have him back.
And, of course, the other thing, he's not on the list, but Tristan Wirfs is coming due for an extension. And it's another guy I can't imagine.
Yeah, just dump all the money at his feet.
back the truck up.
Just to think of Tristan and Antoine in that same draft. I mean, what home runs. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. And now we're presented with the problem of now you have to try to re-sign them all at the same time. Yeah. It's a good problem of the reason behind it. But, man, what a draft that was.
Yeah, but no matter what you pay him, you got your money's worth the first 5 years or 4 years.
So. What a deal. What a bargain.
Now, if they do put the franchise tag on Antoine Winfield, hopefully that is just extending the negotiating period so that sometime this offseason you can
lift him and use it again.
No, you want to franchise tag him so that he can't be signed by another team.
Okay.
Well, they'll probably do the non-exclusive franchise tag, so he would technically be able to sign with another team, but they'd have to give us two first-round draft picks, which nobody was willing to do for Lamar Jackson. So I doubt they would do it for a safety. Even if he's the best safety in the league.
Yes, that they didn't vote into the Pro Bowl, but we're not still salty.
Yeah, but he was first team All-Pro.
Yes, which is all that really matters. Important. That's all that matters.
And the most important thing about Antoine winning first team AP All-Pro is that I predicted it in writing in June.
Did you really?
Yep.
Nice. I did.
That's the most important part.
And I actually thanked him in the locker room the next day. I'm like, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Made me work for
proving you.
And he said, that's why I did it.
He said,
that's why I did it.
Yeah, he gave me the special handshake that we have. And it's like every time I went out there, Scott, I was thinking I got to do it for
just
Scott.
Just for Scott.
There was some confetti.
Okay. My next topic here. I have to do my first mock draft at the start of next week.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay, you're really not making me feel good about bringing this topic up, Jeff.
It's okay.
It's not like I brought up fantasy baseball.
Listen, I forgot my water, fantasy so you football. Guys just go ahead and chat, and I'll go get my water.
Are you really going to go
get
your
water? Yeah, I'm going to go get my water.
Good thing his office is right next door. Jeff doesn't like mock drafts.
Yep, same.
I don't either.
But
and we get
that's
to write
not
them.
The point. That's not the point. I'm just telling you that I'm not asking you to do a mock draft right now.
Good.
Okay, so everybody can calm down, Jeff. But I have to do that, and you pick for all the teams. But obviously, the most important pick in there for most of our readers is going to be who the Bucks pick.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you don't have to name a name because most of us probably haven't dived too deep into that yet. But mm-hmm. just if you could get a blue chip player at a position right now to help the Buccaneers, what do you think, Bree?
Ooh.
Anybody else can jump in if you want to give her time to talk.
I think so. If you're saying basically, you know, that you're getting like one of the top, if not the top tier guy at a position, I think that's what's interesting is that where we're picking
26.
What are the odds
tougher.
Of that? Yeah. So I think to me, it's a different. Sometimes I might have a different answer if it's like if you're telling me that somehow one of the top guys at a spot has fallen there that we didn't expect versus what do I really think is a good position, at, you know, and that value right there. I feel like for me, outside linebacker, just a true
edge rusher,
yeah, like the guy that is going to wreak havoc pretty quickly too, that it's, this is a position where you don't see it being like, oh, he's got to grow, learn, develop this, that it's like a guy that you see as being ready to pass rush mm-hmm. immediately. I think that would be, yeah, I think that would be one for me. And then I think interior offensive line, because I think when it comes to things like tackles, like we know that those tend to go quickly, early, whatever. Now maybe this draft's a little different.
It's,
you got so many quarterbacks,
deep in tackles.
So it's very deep, and you got all those quarterbacks that are going to potentially
which
go,
which is good for us, actually.
So maybe, yeah, but I think that maybe an interior guy mm-hmm. that has the chance to be able to, you know, whether I think it's going to be high. Typically, people don't necessarily draft some of those as high as that right. as much. But yeah, so I would say interior offensive line, or I would say outside linebacker.
There's a very intriguing
go ahead.
Center prospect named Jackson Powers Johnson.
Love that name.
Powers Johnson.
And, that's a great name.
His, I was listening to a podcast, so I was talking about the Senior Bowl where he apparently dominated, and they nicknamed him SpongeBob SquarePants because like because he's just like this giant square.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kicking people's butts the entire week.
His name is
so
Powers.
He's like 335 pounds, and but he's nimble for that, like a Vita Vea mm-hmm. type. So I don't think he's going to make it to us, but
I love that. That name sounds like a character out of a comic book. Right. I feel like
Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah, I think the guy that wins for the name category is the corner that Kool-Aid
McKinstry.
Yes,
that's a good one.
It's
sponsorships
it's
for days.
Yes. I mean, Oh yeah.
That, and yeah, your celebration is already ready. You just go bursting through something like yes. that. Yeah.
However, there's also a cornerback available named TJ Tampa. I mean,
there we go.
Can we pass on TJ Tampa?
No.
I don't think so.
That's great.
I liked Brock Bowers because he was on TV and I really liked how he handled himself. He's a tight end.
Yeah, and he's not lasting at 26.
I know.
Yeah.
But if someone makes a mistake and he falls.
If 25 someone
makes a mistake.
He's the best tight end prospect since Kyle Pitts, who went fourth overall.
Patrick Mahomes, that's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. A lot of people missed on
that. He went 10th, and the Chiefs traded up for him.
Yeah, talk to the Bears about that.
I don't need to talk to the Bears about that. I know they made a stupid decision by taking Mitch Trubisky, but there's a difference between a guy falling to 10 and a team trading up for him than a guy that might go top 5 falling to 26. Mm-hmm. You just have to be realistic about it. We're not getting Brock Bowers.
It's called mock draft.
And I'm mocking your draft.
Wow. You might as well just go with a fantasy pick.
I was just thinking about
that's what you did. You made a fantasy pick.
I was thinking about how excited we were last year that we were taking somebody named Cody Mock with all the mock drafts. And then it wasn't even how you said his name now. Yeah. We were so excited. And then it was like, oh, sad.
But the content out of that, though, with Ryan Jensen with the teeth, that was just absolute gold.
Yes.
Afterwards.
That was very accurate.
I'm going to say in early rounds, I'm going to go with inside linebacker. Because you have need a successor for Lavonte David, and then Devin White is also an impending free agent. So I would say definitely need to target that somewhere early in the draft.
It's not much there in the first round. So
right.
you're probably
but
talking day
like,
two.
Yeah,
but that's
day
where
two.
We got Lavonte.
Right.
Yeah,
so
let's just
you can
pick a Lavonte again.
Yes. Yes.
Put to Lavonte on the counter and say, can I have another one of these, please?
Yeah. I'm going to go walk down and talk to Jason and be like, I don't know if you know this, but we should get another one of those.
You could always go with Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Was he in the other room when you brought that up?
No.
Did you literally
I wasn't here. No.
You're a little advanced to be developing ADHD.
I think he was thinking about his own joke. Yep. I think that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned that he had the coolest name in the draft.
Oh, didn't hear it.
Well, obviously.
He's paying no attention.
No.
Your edge rusher.
Pay no attention to the podcaster behind the curtain.
Your edge rusher would be Dallas Turner. That's who you want.
Great.
He's It depends on the mock you look at. He goes top 10 in a lot of mocks, but I've seen some where he falls. That one's not quite as far-fetched as
he
Brock
does,
Bowers.
No, he falls. I got one right here. He falls to the Buccaneers. It shows.
Oh, you got one? That's right, what I just
right
said,
there.
Though. I can pull one up where he goes eighth if you want.
There you go. Well,
there's also Florida State's Jared Verse, USC's Liatu Latu. Lata.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot, and he's a guy I've seen fall there too. I agree with whoever said edge rusher.
Me.
Okay. That would be the...
I like when you agree with me on things. I feel much better about it.
Shaq Barrett very candidly spoke the day after the last games for the number of reasons. He wants to be back. we like him, and you know, if it works out, that'd be great. But mm-hmm. he spoke candidly that there's some reasons, there's factors that he knows it's possible he's not back. So at the very least, you might be replacing one guy who was a starter this past year and for the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, Yaya Diaby was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Way better as a pass rusher than our personnel people thought he would be. They drafted him in the third round, where you don't normally get a good pass rusher, because he was a great run stopper, which he mm-hmm. did very well, which is why he broke his way into the starting lineup a little around midseason. But to see him be so effective as a pass rusher was a revelation. Mm-hmm. And he led the team in sacks. However, he led the team in sacks with 7.5, right? And then our other edge rushers, nobody top 5. And maybe one of them is about to break out. But I still don't think you could pass up a guy that could be a double-digit sack guy if he's there.
So do you guys right. think the way that this defense is crafted, that you have to have, to really be where you want to be, a outside linebacker or like an edge rusher who will get double-digit sacks? Because part of the allure of a Todd Bowles defense is that you have pressure coming from so many different places. Therefore, you, I do think, are going to have more players with more sacks than a lot of other teams. I have not looked up the numbers to back up what I'm saying at
the
all.
The Bucks tied for the league lead with 9 guys that had at least 2.5 sacks.
Look at that. I knew you'd have the numbers to back up my amazing point I was making. Look at that teamwork. Just already had it. I knew. This is why I don't look up numbers. I have Scott. Right. So I don't, to me, it's maybe not as vital, but at the same time, it's like, even if you have an elite guy, is he getting those kind of numbers? Because in this defense, there's going to be so many different things being dialed up as compared to just like, you're sending this same guy every single time. Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
Yeah, and I get it. But overall, I disagree.
Because see, there's always a but with Scott, just so you know.
Yeah.
Usually it's directed at you, so I took one.
I would say, yes, Todd Bowles is able to create pressure without a dominant edge rusher, but he has said, I think the past two off seasons, that you know it's not good when your leading rusher is an interior guy, which was the case last year. I think he clearly wants at least one dominant edge rusher, because every game plan can't be the same. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. sometimes you don't want to be dialing up exotic blitzes against certain quarterbacks that are the Detroit game. We blitzed a lot and it didn't get home. Mm-hmm. And so therefore Jared Goff had a great game. If we could have
gotten more
pressured
from
him,
typical edge,
it would have worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in that game, maybe you don't want to try that, and you want to go more base and just pin your ears back and go after them and play more coverage. So I think you increase the variety of what you can do. If you could take what Todd already does
and then also add that guy. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Jeff, what is, other than a tight end that won't make it to us, what else?
Probably a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of people mocking a receiver for us in the first.
Certain type?
One that can catch the ball.
Okay, I like that.
Because catching's important. It's from what the OC said, right? One of the attributes is to be able to catch the ball, run a route. I don't know. I think what I always laugh about mock drafts is that they're never right.
Oh, they're never right.
But I get why people love doing them, because it gives you something to talk about. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a life, but continue.
I actually don't love doing them.
Yeah,
but
you
do
such
them.
A really good job, because I do read them.
See?
I do read
That's
them.
My point. I read other mock drafts.
Well, I just want you to get the click, so
thank you.
Joey and
all of them are happy.
And Max happy. Yeah.
That's good.
What else on your yellow
but
pad?
But I will say, though, I do like doing them, because I think even if when you do the homework and you do the research and you familiarize yourself with different teams, different players in the class, you still face them. So even if you do the research and we don't necessarily pick them, well, then you may face them down the road in the season, and that already gives you an advantage when you are prepping for that game. And mm-hmm. I'm sure Scott would probably say the same thing. So from that regard, it's great, but I just, at the time, it's, yeah, stick pins in my eyes, not exactly the most enjoyable thing.
Well, and Jeff's right. Every year, the best mock draft, you want to save this for posterity.
I got to rewind that. Jeff's right. Continue.
Oh my gosh.
You even at the end of this whole process, that there's some websites that always evaluate everybody's mock drafts, which is good. Hold them accountable. And whoever wins usually has 8 right, maybe, you know. And by the time you get to the week before, I think by the time we get to the week leading up to the draft, we're going to know pretty well how those quarterbacks are going. Mm-hmm. So those probably gonna, there could be three guys that everybody knows. So you get those three right just to start with. But all it takes is for one team to do what you don't expect or for one trade you weren't counting on. Right. And it just destroys your whole mock draft. Mm-hmm. So it's more like what Bree said. It's the process of going through it so that you learn more. But most of these people doing mock drafts are not actually crunching film, myself included.
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever we do one of these in a little bit that is our mock draft version of this crossover podcast, I will not have crunched the film.
I will not have crunched
the film. I will say that right now. I will have read everybody else that crunches the film and hope that they actually did as compared to also then reading. I'm like, are we all just going off one person? Did one person watch the film and then we're all just going off what they said?
But see, my thing is that when you crunch the film, like again, it's never who you think it's going to be. Like, I still remember when I covered Dallas and I did all of the prep. It was going to be corner. We just knew it. On Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn. I spent 20 hours poring over film, doing analysis, doing all of that, and then they choose Micah Parsons. And no one expected them to choose a linebacker, and that happens every single year.
Obviously, what a terrible pick. Yeah, what a terrible pick.
Which, I mean, yes, it ended up panning out for them, and he had an incredible rookie season, but... Yeah. I was a little bit upset because I did all of that work.
Hours.
And then they announce it from the podium and you're like, great.
But man, cool. If you play against those guys, you got things to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bree's one the most likely of us to actually crunch some film. She actually does watch game tape throughout the season. But most of us, you're just reading stuff and then making matches. You know, I think that team needs a cornerback. I think that team, and half the time you don't know that. That GM's like, no, we actually like our right tackle, and whatever.
And apparently, a lot of them aren't right either, so it's all good.
The GM, the whole thing's a crapshoot.
It really is. It's amazing to me that it is not a more exact science at this point. I think about the resources that are put into it, and the work, and the time, and the people, and that this is like It is so interesting to me how much of a coin flip even the early, or especially the early. Picks are. I'm so intrigued by that.
Yeah, but that's the human nature of it. That's the beauty of it.
Jason said if we miss on someone, it's typically from the neck up. That's kind of Jason's mantra that he says at events when people are like, oh, like what, when a pick has gone wrong, what's it been about? And he's like, we know the measurables, we know the physical ability, we know all of that. You cannot predict how a person will handle suddenly being thrust onto the world's biggest stage and being, I mean, it's all of us know, we never know how we're going to react in a life shift. Mm-hmm. You never know what it's going to be like. And so trying to predict what a person is going to do is so challenging.
And it's also the environment they're in. Mm-hmm. You know, they can get drafted to a team that they're not overly excited about, or they're just excited to be drafted, but the system really doesn't fit them.
If other jobs operated like this, like if you were coming out of college and suddenly you were just drafted to a company, it's such a funny concept to me of like, what an interesting, we just take for granted that this is how it works, that they have no say in it, they just get picked. And how funny if for all of us it was just like you declare your major, which is like, all right, this is your position, and then companies just draft you. I think it's such an interesting idea.
I'm not sure I would hate that more than going through the interview process.
Well, but you still have to do like a, you know, there'd be a combine with all your interviews,
Okay, that's right. That would be. But you'd probably get it over in just a couple days.
You just want to get picked.
Yeah.
You know, at that stage, you want to get picked. Then after you get picked, then you start complaining about who picked you and why.
You.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
And then you get there and you don't like it, and so you start demanding a trade.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want draft-wise. I think Jason Light needs to go on another run and restock the secondary like he did from 18 to 20 when he drafted Carlton Davis, Mike Edwards, Jamel Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting, and Antoine Winfield.
I knew you were going to say this. This is the most consistent thing about Scott Smith is that if he were Jason Light, we would literally draft 7 corners every year.
That's hyperbole, obviously, but I might draft a cornerback on day 2 every year.
Every year, yep.
Or a safety. A cornerback or safety.
He thinks there can never be too many, and I don't disagree with you. And you look at these last few years and the injuries and all that.
You're not wrong, Scott.
They have proven your point.
Thank God we had Zion McCollum this last year with Carlton and Bree pointed out to me today that Zion McCollum played more snaps overall than Carlton or Jamel.
It's incredible.
That blew my mind. I was not expecting that.
That can't be right.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
And I love that his position coach before the season called his shot and was like, most improved guy on the team is going to be Zion McCollum. Like, Babe Ruth did, pointed out there, this is the guy. He's going to be the guy. And he was right. Zion had a heck of a year.
He was there, I think, Luke Getteke and Rashad White would be in that conversation too.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Yeah.
All right. So Bree and I have started these roundtable or point counterpoint articles that we're doing over a course of 7 weeks, and we just did one on the team MVP. I'd be curious to see what you two thought about that. If you could only pick one, you're not going to insult the others. Don't get chosen.
Well, I would say Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I have to just say with that.
Yeah, I think it's unfair in the sense of quarterback obviously has the most impact on a team in so many ways. So of course, like they tend to be your most valuable in a lot of ways. But I might actually go with Antoine as my answer. I think that there were so many times, I mean, a quarterback still relies on other people to catch the ball or to block for him or to run the ball. I felt like Antoine individually stopped more plays or prevented more points by himself. And of course, I know all 11 men working together in defense. I get it before everybody comes for me. But I mean, he made some plays where you can tangibly point to all these points. He single-handedly saved the tides of games he turned. I mean, I think that brought more value in some ways to a lot of games.
Well, see, I go with Baker because he was replacing the greatest quarterback ever. Mm-hmm. And the expectations were somewhat low, but he walked in the door believing in himself after being on so many different teams the previous season and everyone basically giving up on him and telling him he sucks. And that was probably the nicest thing they said about him. Mm-hmm. He comes in here, not only does he perform well on the field, but he owned the locker room. He brought a lot of guys, got them to buy into this new offense and how well we're going to do. And all of us have been around Baker, and all of us know his personality is very contagious. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it as much as everyone was putting on Tom Brady saying this team was Tom Brady. That was basically the national identity of this team was Tom Brady, even though we had all these other stars. I think Baker was the right guy to come in and just elevate everybody to, hey, you guys are on a Super Bowl team. I know this. You're going to make me look good. And he got them all to buy into it. So that's why I think
it's a good argument. And yep. I mean, you wonder if the good argument, I think, is that you went beyond the numbers there and said the impact that he had to keep this team winning. I mean, if this is not casting shade on anybody, but, you know, that was basically viewed externally as a stopgap for the Bucs, I imagine. And nobody outside the building had much expectations for it. So you could have really signed a bunch of guys, and I'm not sure which ones are available, so I'll just throw out. Very competent quarterback. Let's say you signed Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. Would the Bucs have been as good as with Tyrod Taylor as they were with Baker Mayfield? And he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good. Mm-hmm. Well,
he could be.
Yeah,
but, we never know.
But I would go with the bird in the hand.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if we're going MVP off of purely game performance, that's where I go Antoine. But if you're going MVP over entire impact on the culture of the team included, then I go with you with Baker. That I think it is, I agree with you completely of the, A, just again, what the challenge is of coming into a almost impossible situation. I think anyone out there, if you pictured whoever the actual greatest is at whatever you do of all time.
And then you got to replace
them. And you
them.
Have to replace them. I think all of us are like, oh boy, that's a tall order. And to come in with such a great attitude, and then also the way he made everybody genuinely love playing with him for him and the, you know, the stiff arms and the ducking his head and running and things that, I, you know, made me scared in the moment, but that really lit a fire a lot. I think he made everybody love playing with him, for him, and to your point, made people believe. Right. And so I think that is, you know, the intangible parts of that huge.
That's why you're the MVP, because you can be great on the field and be
the value you bring in all the areas.
And you can be a real turd in the locker room, and it happens. And we've seen great players that they are phenomenal players, but they're just not, I don't want to say good people, they're just not good teammates. Let's just say that. Yeah. They're not good teammates. So when I think of an MVP for my team, you encompass everything, you know, and that's why you're above everybody else. Mm-hmm. So that's
well, and I think a lot of people, too, forget not only, but Baker, when he came in, he didn't have the job.
That's true.
He had to battle with Kyle Trask for the job. He didn't even come in here.
That's a stressful way to start.
Knowing that you're the starter. He moves his family here. and continued to defy the odds, won the starting role, but then he still has the doubters. Is he actually going to have a good season? Is he going to make this grand comeback? And not only did he do that, brought the Bucks to the division round, but, I mean, heck, even just look at him at the Pro Bowl. He was the MVP of the Pro Bowl. I mean, just the guy that continues to just stack the accolades. And I completely agree what you said about Antoine, but I think also Baker did a lot of the same thing on offense. I mean, you look at when he was battling with the ribs, the ankle, and he's gutting it out, and he's running, and he's scrambling for his life for 8 yards to get the first down. I mean, or even just what he did against Green Bay, the tight window throws and shots that only his guys could get to that he's nailing, and just the surgical precision that he had. And I feel like a lot of people, too, have kind of underrated the arm talent that Baker Mayfield has, which he does. And he just has that moxie that commanded this team. And like you were saying, I don't think someone would have come in and had the same success that Baker had, because not only did he have the on-field production, but also you saw him on the sideline when things weren't going well and he's rallying, he's running up to guys, and you didn't necessarily see that for other teams when they were behind. The quarterback's just sitting on the bench, woe is me, but Baker's in their faces, let's go, let's mm-hmm. do this, we can do this. And they were able to dip out of that when the Bucks were 4-7, no one thought this team could come back from that.
He also deserves an MVP for bringing back the word moxie. I love that everyone uses that word to talk about him. And for whatever reason, it makes me think of this like 1920s Hollywood, like, yeah, she's got moxie. See, like, I don't know why, but that's what comes to my brain. And I just feel like this is not a word that I have heard used nearly as often as about Baker, but it's perfect. It's the perfect word
that
to
was
describe
so
him.
Perfect.
Thank you.
That was an incredible impersonation. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Appreciate it. She's got moxie.
Yeah. See,
Let's bring back moxie, everyone.
Yep.
That's our goal.
That's our goal for this year.
Or maybe
year.
Baker already did.
He already did.
For the record, mm-hmm. Jeff and Casey, you're both right. We are in an article. Yeah. She picked Baker and I picked Antoine.
Wow. That means he's said that you're right twice today.
I know.
But I also proved wrong.
I think we,
occasions.
That's true. Yeah.
So, but now I'm at 500. If 500. I was a baseball player, I'd be making bazillions.
Be Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I agree with everything, but the reason I went with one of the reasons I went with Antoine is she picked first.
Yeah.
So, but I really wanted her to pick Baker so I could make the Antoine case. Even if it comes down to it, rationally speaking, you probably have to go with Baker. But it's been a long time since I feel like one guy has been so head and shoulders above as the playmaker on our defense, and he made plays. Mm-hmm. That if he wasn't out there, we probably would have lost maybe two more games. Baker did too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not distinguishing between them. But are the Buccaneers in the playoffs if they have a league average safety at that spot instead of Antoine?
Nope.
No. I say no.
Also, I do think he's another one that brings a lot of off-field value too in the way he conducts
himself.
His business.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that from what I've heard about Antoine, what I've seen about Antoine, he's the kind of guy that, A, the success does not seem to have changed him at all. That he is still the same guy as when he walked mm-hmm. in here in all the best ways. And none of it's gone to his head. None of it's making him work less. If anything, it's making him work harder. And he has the overall, just like the head that he has on his shoulders and the work ethic and the way he conducts himself lends me to think that this is a guy that could do this for another mm-hmm. decade. I mean, yeah. He takes care of his body really well. He does the fundamentals really well. He studies. He does community work. I mean, whatever you want to ask of a player, he does it. And I don't see him slowing down in any way, that he's just seems to be getting better at all of it. And I can see him being the kind of guy that has that long career like a Levante where you're going, I can't believe he's doing XYZ at this age.
Right.
I see us having that same conversation about Antoine.
Did you?
And that's why you need to sign both of them.
Yes.
Well, and he's one with the grass.
One with the grass.
He always walks out the barefoot. Going barefoot every day.
Hey, if it'll make me perform at the level that Antoine does, let's go walk around barefoot after this podcast.
Casey, when we were shooting Insider this morning, and we had a little graphic up there about all the guys that had snaps at safety for us this year, and I had a column that said strengths, and like, for instance, D. Delaney, ball hawk.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan Neal. Run support.
Yeah.
Did you see what I had for Antoine?
It said everything. I meant to bring that up on the show, and I totally forgot. But yeah, the graphic came up, and it made me chuckle that everybody had a thing, and then Antoine's was just life, like just everything.
Tell me one part of the job that he's not fantastic at.
Nothing.
You can't.
He even dresses great for games. I mean, yes. There's just nothing he doesn't do well.
Right.
It's amazing.
I do think his hair comes out of interesting shapes at the end of games when the helmet comes off.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. You can see the exact imprint of the inside of it. His hair is amazing. And it was so perfectly timed for us doing the creamsicle throwback shoot.
Yes, I was just thinking
that. I was
that.
Like, this is amazing. Like, he had just the perfect...
Stepping out of the 70s.
70s fro going all year. It was impeccable.
Before we stop on the MVP talk, some guy that would get votes would be Mike Evans, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I agree. I will always...
I'll
vote for him in any election that he's in, of any kind. I will always vote Mike Evans.
I think there was a handful of plays that he made this year that the Bucks wouldn't have won their games without him.
I agree.
And I think Mike also deserves credit for he's trying to get a new contract and it didn't come about. And he didn't pout. He wasn't a bad teammate. He just said, okay, well, it's business. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's wait until the end of the year and see what happens. And then he puts up phenomenal numbers.
Probably
so,
his best season since 2019.
Yeah, so, right. Mm-hmm. So I give and people go, well, that's your job. But no, I mean, when you're in a negotiation and you're trying to get a long-term deal and it doesn't come to fruition when you think it should, you know, you can pout a little bit. And he did not. And so I give him props too.
I agree. I think that he is a guy who, same thing, does everything right on and off the field. And I think he's also one where, again, just continues to seem to get better somehow, defying time. Because, and I think he would say this too, he got better at two things over the course of his career. Taking care of his body and managing his enthusiasm on the field is how I will refer to it.
He only had that issue one time, and that was only with the Saints.
It was more than one time.
Yeah, it was more than one time. And it was...
Okay, anytime he played the Saints, he had a hard time with his emotions.
I think he would tell you, though, that even not against the Saints, that there were times that he would get frustrated on the field.
OPI calls more.
Yes, that he'd get very frustrated about it. And he has said, I've heard him say this in interviews, that's why I'm like, I'm not spilling anything here, that he has said he learned how to manage that better and that it made a big difference in who he was able to be on the field, take things in stride. Mm-hmm. Again, maybe not so much against the Saints, but we're working on it. And
well, it's easy to hate the Saints.
I would get in a fight if I was out there with the Saints, you know? So I think that he is just a guy that between the taking care...
I can see you fighting the sideline reporter or the stage... The stadium host. That would be awesome.
Our own brawl. I think, he just seems like he got a lot better at both of those things. And I think that potentially Brady had a lot of impact on that, of watching how much that meant of the way he took care of his body. I think it may have elongated Mike's career having that time of playing with Brady where he saw the value of it. And everyone talked about how that next training camp, he came in the best shape he's ever been in. And that it changed everything, that everyone said, like, this is a whole different Mike Evans physically than we've had before. And that, I think, is going to add years to his career. It's I think, added a lot of plays and yards and all of that. So, yeah, the fact that he seems the same as Levante just somehow keep going up, even when you expect that drop-off to be happening. Mm-hmm. And it's just not.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We love Mike.
We love Mike. Mike for president.
I only have one more topic left.
Okay.
So if anybody else wants to throw anything out there before we go, otherwise this will be it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great.
Fair enough.
It's Thursday, what, the 8th?
Yep.
Which means we're 3 days away from the NFL's biggest game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not in it this time around.
Drat.
But
do you know yesterday was 3 years?
Yep. 3 years since the Super Bowl win.
That was the exact date.
The exact day, yep.
Yeah, crazy, huh? It seems like yesterday.
Brie
didn't get to live that.
Brie, you missed that, yeah.
Yeah, makes me sad.
We haven't won a Super Bowl since you got here.
Wow, it's all your fault.
There you go.
Brie is
I have actually been told that.
Yep. All your fault. For a while, I thought I had that issue that every team I had worked for had not had a lot of success. That either the NBA, WNBA, other NFL team, like all of that, there was some struggle years, and I was starting to get a complex about it. So when we won a Super Bowl here, I was like, "Oh, I'm good. It's not me. It's not me."
It only took me 17 years to get a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
when I came to work for the organization,
not as bad
because they won in 2002, right?
Yep.
So, and I came in 2004. To the organization.
That was just such a,
so that was a long stretch.
But you
phenomenal
were
experience.
Yeah, I was around. Yeah, I was around for the first one. Yep.
I went to school at Northwestern, and our football team won 7 games in the 4 years that I was there. And then after an internship, I got hired by the Buccaneers, who were at the time most known for always losing. And so, and there was like four more years of that. So it was a rough start for me as well. But nothing as bad as Brie coming in and jinxing us out of Super Bowls forever and all time.
Then forever and all time.
Jeez. Thanks for putting that on me.
I think if you joined an NFL team in, say, 2000, and over the next 21 years, they won two Super Bowls.
It's a pretty good run.
You could probably count on one hand how many teams won two Super Bowls in that span. Pittsburgh, New England.
Yep. Yeah.
Ravens.
Did they win two? I don't know.
It actually, if you think about it, then
02 and
so if you think about just complete, if there was complete parity, right, you'd only win the Super Bowl once every 32 years,
right?
So if you've won more than that, you've done better than just the statistics, right?
No matter how bad it is, as long as you didn't be working for the Lions, you're okay because they never been there.
And that's the other thing. There are all these teams that hadn't been there, teams that haven't won. And we're even considered one of the younger franchises.
Well, we are, yeah.
And so to know, especially I think if you looked at since the Bucs' inception, the number of Super Bowls we have compared to other teams, and especially when you factor in that the Patriots won so dang many of them, like it's honestly pretty incredible that the Bucs do have two Super Bowls in that time span. And especially when you are an expansion team, you know it's going to take a bit to start getting going. So if you even take where they started, maybe a year or two off for the expansion years, I think it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Or you could be the Dallas Cowboys.
They haven't done.
Hadn't done anything since
1995. Year I was born.
Again, Bree, are we noticing?
Jeez.
Now.
Oh my, I've never even thought about that.
It's
You were probably born after that Super Bowl. Yeah, you were, because your birthday's later this
I
month,
was.
Right?
So it's
February 23rd. Well, it's me. Sorry.
Can we trade her to the Saints?
Yeah. That's awful.
HR wants to see you.
It's been a good run.
Dang.
Okay, so.
So this Super Bowl.
We'll go around. I also have one email I'm going to read after we're done with this. We'll go around. Who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl, and who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
Ooh.
Mm.
Anybody want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
49ers are going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. And do you have a cogent reason as to why?
Well, I think... Shanahan's going to know how to take apart the Kansas City defense. I really think Brock Purdy is the real deal as a quarterback, even though everybody says he's a systems quarterback, which is drives me nuts because everybody's a system of something. But I just think that it's really hurt them when they lost against Kansas City in the previous Super Bowl that they were matched up with them. They were ahead in the fourth quarter. They had an opportunity to win, and they did not win. And I just feel that they're gonna do it this time. And I would be very happy for that because our good buddy John Lynch is the general manager. So he won a Super Bowl as a player, and then he's going to win one as a GM. And so that's I'm going with 49ers.
So your answer is 49ers for both.
Who you
we'll
want
win
and
we'll want to win.
Correct.
And in that last San Francisco-Kansas City game, I think I heard recently that at one point, he hates this stat, so get ready for the groans. The 49ers had something like a 94% win probability at some point.
Yeah, and apparently it wasn't enough.
I think the big play, I don't know if y'all remember the big third and 15 play downfield to Tyreek Hill.
What was it called, hot dog
and then they
or
show,
something like
that? I was watching that the other day, and they show Shanahan on the sideline, and his reaction was like, you know, just, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about Shanahan, who's brilliant and has probably had more influence on the league, at least offensively, in the last 6 or 7 years than anybody. Mm-hmm. But his team lost that game, and he was the OC in Atlanta.
And when they were up 28-3.
They don't need to be ahead. Come from behind.
Got him just where he wanted him.
Yes.
Okay, so anybody want to go next? No?
I can go. So I'm a little bit torn on the want to, because there are several former Bucks on the Chiefs who I really like and would love to see get another ring.
Donovan Smith,
Mike Edwards, Blaine Gabbert, Justin Watson.
Oh, yeah, Justin Watson.
So all four great dudes, people I really enjoyed here, some of my favorite people to interview, who I, of course, would just love to see personally get another ring. But they all already have one,
right.
Which is kind of funny. And so therefore, there's this part of me that really likes the idea of the 49ers getting it. I love Brock Purdy and I love John Lynch. Those two are enough for me to root for them. And I love a league with some parity. We had the Patriots for so long. I don't know that I'm ready. I don't know that I want another dynasty so quickly. Well, I mean, it's already there.
Sorry.
It's already there. But at least if they don't win it, it's not as cemented. I just, again, I want some parity, and I feel like the Chiefs have been there so many times recently, won it multiple times. I would like it for John Lynch, for Brock Purdy. So either way, there will be something I'll be happy about, which is kind of nice. Like, I won't be upset with either of these teams winning it. But as much as I would, for personal reasons, love the Chiefs to win for those guys, I think from like a league standpoint and an overall football fan standpoint, I would pick maybe the 49ers. And I think that the 49ers are going to win. That's my prediction.
Just too much offense?
Too many options. And then, yeah, I think that their defense can really, I still just feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to end up scrambling away a lot and not necessarily getting to really do everything that he wants. And even though we know he can magician his way out of a lot of things, I see them being able to put some interesting pressure on him. And we've seen where sometimes his weapons haven't always been able to make the huge plays and the big moments they need. So I think that if the 49ers are able to really get after them, I don't know that they have quite the same ability to overcome that as a 49ers offense that can just beat you a thousand different ways.
I'll go next. I want Kansas City to win because Taylor Swift deserves something good to happen in her life.
She's had so little, no money, no fame,
God,
no success.
I did not see that coming. That's incredible.
That was hilarious.
I mean, it's been a rough life for Taylor. And, you know.
Tough situation.
When's something going to go right for her? But honestly speaking, you know, when you're talking about the Kansas City people, Jeff, Pat Brazil works there. So I agree with you on John Lynch. If they
go ahead.
I'll be happy with them for John Lynch. But on the other hand, if they don't win, John Lynch can still look at his Hall of Fame bust.
Yes. Yes.
And they're going to be, both these teams are going to be good again. I would feel bad for Kyle Shanahan just because that's rough if after the last two times.
Yeah.
I think overall, I kind of think I want Kansas City to win. I think it's an interesting story. I think a lot of us complain about dynasties, but secretly kind of like watching dynasties because it's kind of cool. Like, you know, I was there when they were, you know, they won six Super Bowls, you know, like with the year the Patriots went 16-0 and then 18-0 and then they lost to not go 19-0. A lot of people were like, good. The David beat Goliath, but I wanted to see a 19-0 team.
Yeah, that's
and,
fair.
And I want to see kind of, I don't necessarily want them to win more than Tom Brady did since he's adjacent to the Buccaneers, but I don't know. I'm feeling for the Chiefs. I also think the Chiefs are going to win, although we've been back and forth on this. If you line up players 2 to 53, I think San Francisco, you'd have a hard time arguing they don't have the edge.
But then Mahomes.
Yeah. Now, you're right. Purdy's been great. But Patrick Mahomes, even in the one that he lost here, did things that no other quarterback can do.
Yeah.
And he's proven again and again that even if they're down 10, he'll find a way. And this is the worst group of pass catchers, and it isn't an awesome offensive line either now, especially with Joe Thuney out. I don't know how to pronounce that. Is it Thuney?
I think it's Thuney. I said that more confidently than I am, though.
I think you're right. If he wins with that group, wow.
That is quite a Hall of Fame moment that is quite and I do think he is capable of it. I think he is one of those quarterbacks that, I mean, you could put me out there as his wide receiver and I think he'd still figure something out. So yeah, I do think this is one of those Super Bowls that is more of a toss up to me than a lot of them where I like that I don't feel strongly one way or the other. And that I think no matter what, it's going to be a good matchup.
Right.
Which is great.
That's actually what I'm rooting
for. Yeah, I'm
on
the fence.
Game. Great game in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. I'm completely on the fence because on the one hand, I'm kind of with Scott that I enjoy witnessing history and just the things that Patrick Mahomes is able to do, the side angle stuff. I love the comparison of him scrambling to that little kid just running around the playground. Mm-hmm. And then it shows, like, that's I don't know if you guys are Breaking Bad people,
but
the video that's been going around about the Chiefs, and it's Jesse, and it's him with the crying scene where he's like, we can't let them keep getting away with this. And then it's like the Chiefs logo. But I think overall, I'm just going to go with the 49ers just because I'm a big Kyle Shanahan fan. Just his innovation. I've always enjoyed watching his teams, but also just the amount of the positionless players that they have.
It's a fun way to play football.
It is. And to me, like, I've just really enjoyed watching the 49ers, and I am a big fan of Brock Purdy, and I think that this is just their year. I just have a special feeling about it. So I'm going to go with 49ers.
And did you say who you wanted to win?
To be honest, I really don't care.
Well, that's not allowed on a podcast. You have to have an opinion. That's not what this is about.
Then I guess, sure, 49ers.
Okay. Podcasts are about hot takes and strong opinions. I do think also this game has two of my favorite running backs to watch.
Pacheco.
I love Pacheco so much. It's just, so, and I know it's been talked about a lot. I know there's a lot of memes. I know this is not like a new take. I just can't stop laughing while I watch him. It's phenomenal. It's so aggressive and angry and extra. Like, I find myself thinking, I'm sure a running back coach has been like, bro, you don't have to do all that. Like, this is a lot of unnecessary movement happening, but it works, man. Like, I will think he is down, and he is never down when I think he is that first time.
Not with you.
And he runs so hard, and I just love the heart behind it that you can tell he's like, I am running for my life over here.
This is one of the Super Bowls that, I mean, I really want the 49ers to win, but if they don't, I can feel happy for Donovan, mm-hmm. for those guys,
right.
you know? Yep. So there is that. So either way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're basically the Buccaneers West is like.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, and yeah, but you know,
all those guys,
I'm just curious if they really watched any of the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers in Kansas City, if they were looking at how defensively.
Mm-hmm. We're one of the only people to be able to beat them. So, yeah. So.
Well, and if I was a tight end, I mean, I would be tuning into this game. I mean, you think about just from a historical aspect, two of the best tight ends at their position for mm-hmm. the last probably decade in George Kittle and Travis Kelce going up against each other.
Oh, I thought you meant Josiah Gray. He's a tight end for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And what do we love about him?
I was waiting.
I was waiting for you to say that he like went to Northwestern or something. Oh, no. That's where I was waiting for this. Normally, if there's a random player that he calls out, it's like, did you know he went to Northwestern? I think also I love the idea that Blaine Gabbert, what a chief, pun intended, backup he has become to back up Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Like, if you're going to be a backup quarterback, man,
those are the places to be.
You certainly know you're not getting in the game.
Right, yeah.
But the wealth of knowledge.
Well, who was the guy that went into the playoff game when Mahomes was hurt for a while and led a 90-something yard touchdown drive? It was, never mind. Anyway, I was looking up some Isaiah Pacheco stuff. One says he runs like he hates the ground.
Mm-hmm. Runs like he bites people. Yeah. I heard about that one too.
He was told that one. He's like, I've heard that people say I run like I bite people. I ain't no zombie.
Yeah. He's been asked about that one. Yeah. There's so many of them that are all really funny.
It's incredible.
There was also one that, as you guys talked about earlier, the Kool-Aid man. There was one where I saw it was like all these doors in a row that all had holes in them. And it said, what do you think happened here? And someone said, Isaiah Pacheco gained 5 yards. It made me laugh very hard. But yeah, there's a lot of fun offensive weapons in this game. You're right. Great tight ends, great running backs, great quarterbacks. It's going to be fun.
I'm just checking to see if either of these teams have a Northwestern guy. The Chiefs, the 49ers do not.
Was it Chad Henne?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah, he had 98-yard TD drive.
Yep, I remember
so,
that.
I mean, you're right. He backs up. Blaine Gabbert backs up Brady and Mahomes. Are like, those are the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and they never miss time. But
it could
happen.
You never know.
And they might not have won the game without Chad Henne.
That's true.
There are there is a Missouri. Oh, well, of course, it's the guy we're talking about.
It's Blaine Gabbert. He and I were there at the same time. He was my college quarterback.
He also played high school ball at Parkway West in St. Louis, and I did not play football at Parkway South.
That's pretty cool.
They were better than we were, the Longhorns. Nick Bolton also.
Oh, yes. All my Mizzou people.
Your school didn't even have a football team.
No, it did not.
And Jeff went to school before they had invented football.
The leather helmets.
Damn.
Just sitting over there catching strays.
Damn.
Okay, so one quick question. And I think we actually read it on our last podcast, but it's relevant here. This is, we have a guy that writes in a lot from Brazil, a fan from Brazil, and his name's Alexander. Ahoy, salty ones. Hope this finds you both well. Is this the week we'll have a salty Tampa 2? Anyway, I was wondering, since Miss Casey Phillips became Mrs. now. Mrs.
Yes.
You don't mind me saying something.
No, that's fine. Yes, I am
now
a Mrs.
Married.
I just kept the Phillips at work.
She's now married. Became the face of the franchise. Since Miss Casey Phillips became the face of the franchise in 2015, at least from the media standpoint, right? How long until she can be called a dog such as you guys?
Wow. Is it a time thing?
Is it something you really want?
Is it an attitude thing? What are the qualifications here? Is it just at a certain point I graduate after being here long enough, or is it I have to have a certain amount of saltiness to me?
Yeah, saltiness. Mm. Has no,
you're not that salty.
Yeah, you're not that salty. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can get there, but
yeah, if you there's certain topics if you bring up, I'm sure I can find a soapbox on. But yes, traditionally,
well, being
I am
on
not
a soapbox is one thing, but being salty, another.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like I am forced to be the optimist around these other salty dogs, based on the fact that Scott and JR are the two that I work around the most here. That I feel like it's my duty to bring the saltiness down.
You're like the little ray of sunshine.
Yeah,
you're desalinating us.
That's exactly it. The desalinization plant over here.
Okay, continuing. A fun fact is that I started following Buccaneers.com daily just months before she, meaning you, Casey, got to the Bucs. So for me, it's kind of like she was always there.
Aw, that's very sweet.
Well,
I love that.
I got nervous for a second because I thought you were going to say, I started following the Bucs when I saw Casey.
When I saw her. No, no. Well, what I'll say, what is their name that wrote in?
Alexander.
Alexander. Well, obrigado, Alexander, I think.
Is that Portuguese?
I think. I am not confident.
Obrigado?
Yep. I think that's right. The only phrases I knew were like how to say hi, how to say thank you.
You didn't call him a butthole.
I hope not. I really hope not. That's very sweet. That's very nice.
That means thank you?
Mm-hmm.
Obrigado?
Obrigado. I think I said
obrigado.
It right.
Obrigado.
But again, I learned this when I went to Brazil 12 years ago, so it's a wee bit rusty at this point. So I hope that's what I said.
Well, we have actually a number of international listeners that write into us pretty frequently.
I don't know how many I'll be able to say thank you to in their language. That was lucky for me.
I have butchered many a word,
especially
in the German. A couple German people write into us.
That's very nice. But yeah, so I mean, I'm coming up on my 9-year anniversary, so he's been following for a while now.
He says, thanks for another season, Mr. Smith, Mr. Ryan, Ms. Phillips, and Ms. Dix.
Aw, very nice.
Thanks, Alexander.
All right, that's all I got.
It's not a podcast until we hear from him.
Yes.
So we always appreciate the time.
We always need the regulars.
All right. Anybody got anything else?
Nope.
Nada, but obrigado.
Since you did, thanks for listening.